I'd like to start by asking you, Michael. Shafiq Rasool's case, Rasool versus Bush, was the beginning of the ending of the status of Guantanamo Bay as a legal black hole. In that case in the Supreme Court in June, the Supreme Court ruled that prisoners at Guantanamo who are not American citizens do have the right to file habeas corpus petitions and have access to lawyers. Could you tell us what has been the practical effect of that case, and what litigation is now following in its wake? Has it made much difference, and what more is happening?
Well, we hope that the Rasool case, which was done on behalf of a number of people in Guantanamo, would be the beginning of the end of Guantanamo. We figured by this time, which is 4 months afterwards, it was decided June 28th of this year, we figured we'd have 40 or 50 lawyers down there, and once you get people like Gareth and Christian down there, and Luis, and Clive, we figured it's all over. But unfortunately, our government, and I'll talk about those, has put roadblock after roadblock in the way. I want to say one thing about the decision in the Supreme Court. What was remarkable to me about it, first that we won with a moderate court, but secondly that they went back to the Magna Carta, the year 1215. And we had always argued in our political talks that for the United States right now it's 1214. It's the year before the Magna Carta. And when Corin started talking about under law, and we have to have a government under law, I remember there's a plinth put up at Runnymede here in England by the American Bar Association that says freedom under law. But of course that's not really what the Magna Carta means. It really means authority under law. And I think our Supreme Court was, as moderate as it is, was so concerned at the United States going completely outside of any of our common understandings of authority under law, whether it's Geneva or torture or indefinite detentions, that they decided to hit the government pretty hard and say that any single human being detained anywhere in the world, really, by the United States has a right to open the courthouse door and say to the United States, why are you detaining me? Fundamental rule. Absolutely one that really sprung out of, at least the way we look at the Magna Carta, sprung out of the Magna Carta. Since that ruling, it has not gone very well in the United States. The government, or the Bush administration, has basically said the Guantanamo ruling to them is like a suggestion, even though our highest court, when it rules like that, it's actually the law. And they've dug in and they've resisted every step of the way. And so far as I speak to you now, we've maybe had less than a half a dozen lawyers, as you heard Clive Stafford Smith has just gone to Guantanamo. We've had less than half a dozen lawyers go there. They've been under severe restrictions, so severe that, for example, when a lawyer went down to visit Mozambique, Osmet's son, she came back and she's under an order that she's not even allowed to tell Mozem's father, Osmet, what his condition is in Guantanamo or what happened to him. The government insists on monitoring people's conversations if they can. All the work has to happen in a classified room in Washington. So even though we've challenged it every step of the way, the government has been successful in restricting our access. On the other hand, and I don't want to put huge amount of faith in the courts here because they're going to a certain level and only up to there. We've won some significant victories that have actually recently gotten Mozambique out of his extreme isolation in a camp called Camp Echo along with others and back into, I wouldn't call it a general population, I'd just call it from hell to a lesser hell. But because of that, we've gotten one judge to say that people ought to be treated under the Geneva Conventions there and be treated as prisoners of war. Again, the United States will try and do everything they can, the Bush administration, to stop that. So that, as I say, it's a push, but it's not at the point yet where I felt that this thing was over, that Guantanamo was at its very end, that when we got the 50 lawyers down there, it would be at its end. And just in the broader context, of course, if you look at Guantanamo stands for really, as David said in his book, it's iconic for everything in the Muslim world particularly, for everything the United States is doing wrong in the war on terror. But it's indefinite detentions, it's summary justice, it's what we call military commissions. It represents the disappearances that Corin referred to all over the world, where the U.S. puts people in detention facilities, and it represents torture at its worst level. And when I say worst level, and I'll end on this because we have like a few minutes to answer questions, right now in the United States, when you see that we are actually elevating the very people in our government who set up the legal regime of Guantanamo and torture, and that's Alberto Gonzalez, the president's counsel, who will now be our chief law enforcement officer, you understand that they're actually proud of what they've done. They're proud of the fact they've set up an indefinite detention facility outside, in their view, the United States, and they're proud of the fact that the man who essentially paved the road to Abu Ghraib with his legal memos, Alberto Gonzalez, is going to be elevated. And they're apparently going to give General Sanchez, who was in charge of the Abu Ghraib prisons when he was the general in Iraq, he is being looked at for a fourth star, so he'll be a four-star general. So the situation is still, particularly in this administration, very dire. Last word, when I read the platform of Peace and Progress, I was excited by it for two reasons. One is a key pillar of what we do in the United States, of what the Bush administration does, is because the table of my government's abuses and wars is being held up by this government, by the Blair administration. And let's not fool ourselves. If they had been against the war in Iraq, if they were really against Guantanamo, we would not be where we are today. I don't think my government would have been able to do what they've done. So it's absolutely critical. And the second thing about Peace and Progress that I thought was really important and we can discuss is that things like Guantanamo and torture don't happen out of the blue. They happen because when you're making wars abroad and creating tyrannies abroad, you're going to be creating tyrannies at home. And when you're taking control of the main primary Muslim capitals of the world, from Baghdad to Jerusalem to Kabul, you're not talking about making this world safer.